hours, 36 minutes. We're now less than 1 minute from the time at which the Apollo 10 crew will be igniting their 20,500-pound thrust service propulsion system engine to start them back to Earth. At this time, the crew should be completing last-minute checks of their guidance and navigation system. They should have gotten the spacecraft into proper attitude and checked that attitude against stars. At about 35 seconds prior to the engine ignition, their computer display panel will blank briefly. They'll then follow that with some last-minute checks of the accelerometers in the guidance system. At 14 seconds prior to ignition, two of the RCS reaction control system jets will come on to settle SPS propellants. And at minus 5 seconds, a flashing light on the disky panel, the computer display panel, will request the crew to enable the engine for ignition. If all is go at that point, John Young will punch a button to proceed, and the engine will ignite on schedule. We now show 25 seconds to ignition. Coming up on 30 seconds now to shut down. And at this point, the SPS engine should have shut down, Apollo 10 on its way back to Earth. We should acquire the spacecraft in about 9 minutes from now. And we anticipate that when the spacecraft comes around the corner of the moon on its way back to Earth, the crew will have the television camera on, and we would hope to have television pictures of the moon receding in the background. This television will come to us from the site at Honeysuckle, Australia. We'll be using the 85-foot dish antenna at this site. This introduces the possibility that the signal will not be as strong as the reception we would get on the 210-foot dish at Goldstone. However, tests have shown that this should be adequate. We're coming up on 1 minute to acquisition of signal. Flight Director Milton Windler has asked his flight controllers to stand by to get a first look at the spacecraft systems as Apollo 10 comes back around the other side of the moon en route to Earth. And we're coming up on 30 seconds now to acquisition of signal. And we should have acquisition of signal shortly. There's the word, AOS flight. We have telemetry data. We're standing by for voice communications from the Apollo 10 crew.
Apollo 10, this is Houston, we're standing by.
Hello, Houston, Apollo 10.
Hello, Apollo 10, this is Houston, how'd the burn go?
Roger, Houston, we are returning to the Earth, over.
Glad to have you on the way back home, 10.
Roger, the bird was absolutely beautiful, and Jill has report, and we've got a fantastic view of the moon now. Over.
Mighty fine, Tom. Standing by for that report.
Hey, Jill, you got an attaboy for that bad update. Here it comes. Burn was on time. It was 2 minutes and 44 seconds. Residuals were plus 0.3, which we reduced to 0.2. Plus 1.6 and minus 0.2. Delta DC is minus 19.9. Fuel remaining is 6.7%. Oxidizer is 9.2%. My plugs is reading off-scale high on the increase. I went through the procedure, but apparently did no good at all. I'm still reading full-scale increase on the plugs, and my oxidizer flow valve is still an increase at the completion of the burn.
Roger, 10, who copied all that? Ten, this is Houston. We'd like to go ahead and take that fuel cell one off both buses now.
Coming off right now, Joe. The TV's being turned on now, and as Tom's starting to pan, we have a couple quick short words for you.
Roger, we're standing by. Go ahead. Roger 10, this is Houston. We copied that transmission. Thank you.
Glad you got the message. Boy, this view is going to be a fantastic thing. Houston 10, I hope the Aussies have their sets tuned in because it's utterly fantastic here.
Roger that, Tom. I'm sure they're all watching.
We're taking a picture right now of Sierkowski down south there. That's impressive.
Roger, copy.
What a place.
And we have a black and white signal at this point.
Joe, that's Sierkowski back there. It's big and black and very distinguishable. Fantastic. Incredible.
Roger, we can see it pretty plain on the set. That's the one right up near the horizon. Is that firm?
Sitting on the horizon, way out there, right.
Hey, there you go. Now we're picking it up. We can see the center of it.
We can see the whole of the sea now. That's it, Joe. That's full zoomed. You ought to be able to see that real good.
We can. That's just real good, James.
You need to see the whole of Smith Sea, and I see CLF-1 down there. There's Deeper.
What's your f-stop setting on the camera now?
Roger, Joe. I've got it at 22. The moon's awful bright.
Roger that, Tom. Thanks.
I'll occasionally flick it up, down, and then back to unsaturate the tube, but that's what you see there. Okay, we're taking all kinds of pictures. I've got the tubes. Gino has the sequence camera, and John has the Hasselblad. We're getting all this documented. Is that better, Joe?
Yeah, that's a little bit better, Tom. What'd you do there?
My ALC switch on it.
Yeah, that's a lot better picture there, Tom. That's great. The detail's coming out a lot better.
Okay, and again, as we move away, the basic moon looks tan to us. The new craters are definitely white. The impact of some of the volcanic ones, but from this sun angle, it's basically tan out there, a light white tan. And the rays you can see were even lighter. I move over this way, the
one crater you can see over there is a brownish in color with the one central peak in it. I'll try to put the zoom on it for you.
Roger, Tom. We're picking it up now. We can see the central peak in the crater.
Okay. Do you have any color there, Jill, at all?
Say again, Tom, please.
Roger. Do you have color in Houston or just black and white? Over.
We've got color here in Houston, there's quite a little bit of light for the color, although we can make out the crater and we can see the central peak in it. The black and white, it's coming out real good.
Okay. Okay. What I'm looking at now is a brown, and the peak into it is a light tan. Around it is a little darker tan. Does that correlate with your colors, over?
Roger, that looks real good on the monitor here, Tom. That's just what we're seeing here.
This is absolutely incredible.
I thought it was a fantastic view leaving the Earth, but it's going to be an even more fantastic one leaving the Moon here and heading back to the good old Earth. Over.
Roger that, Tom.
I got the whole of the Smith V.
Right.
Gracium.
Okay, the way you see it right now is all about the F-50, about probably 55 on the zoom. That's about the way we're seeing it now, maybe a little more.
Roger, understand.
Okay, I'll hand the camera over to John here, and he'll show you the sea of crisis. Over.
Roger. And while you're doing that, Tom, we got confirmation on your burn. It looks like we'll have about 1 foot per second at your first MCC at 15 hours.
Well, Roger, I think we can afford about 1 foot per second. That is bad.
Apollo 10 now 711 miles from the Moon.
The old guide system has done great work for us on this mission.
Roger that. That's a real interesting picture that you're showing us there now, too.
And also, for the first time, we've seen what we call Gene determined a gigantic turtleback crater that's fractured. We'll put the zoom on that in just a minute.
Roger.
It's a real interesting crater here on my right, Joe. It's an enormous thing, and it's fractured almost symmetrically in a number of pie-shaped pieces. I'll see if we can get it for you in a minute.
Okay, we're standing by.
In fact, looking straight ahead, just now coming into view, even though we're really starting to climb out from it. In fact, I can finally see the whole Moon right in the hatch window. But we're looking down the road, there's Messier A and B, the Turonius twins. We have Censorinus there for Jack. And on up ahead, I can see landing site one, even from this distance from the landmarks we let in. Over.
Roger, understand. That's real good to know.
Well, you can't believe this way to climb. Looks like we're going out just vertical, just beautiful. Scare the heck out of you to come in at this angle. Maybe it's just because we came in dark and didn't see the thing, over.
Right, I understand.
Hey, Joe, that's that crater I was talking about. I don't know how that is, but I can see a little bit of it in my monitor.
It's coming in real good, Gene. It looks like you're just about to crowd the top part of the window there, but we've got the whole crater, and yeah, we can see those fractures in there.
It looks like the outer rim is slumped down. You have some body material near the edges, and the whole thing is fractured there in the middle with a couple of impacts near the center.
Roger, we can make that out.
Spacecraft now 850 nautical miles from the moon.
Okay, down in the central part here, it's still a tan color, but as we move further away, it's starting to get a little more white, and the Mari area is turning to a light brown, a whitish brown. Over.
Roger,
it
understand.
It looks like the real moon.
Roger, the crater that you
it's
were...
It's another rounder too, isn't it? Go ahead, Joe.
Roger, Gene, I was just going to say that crater you were showing us, your fractured crater there, it looked like there was a dark patch on the left-hand side. I wonder if that was just something that showed up on the tube or if you observed that up there. In the upper left-hand corner there now.
Joe, that is it looks like Mari material. That's right. That's Mari material in that crater, Joe. Over.
Roger, that's real interesting.
Just wait till about another 30 minutes, then you'll be able to see the whole thing there. Over.
That engine did it again, boy. What a prince. Does it look a little rounder?
Right. It's looking real round now. If one of you guys get half a chance, if you could give us accept on the computer, we'll shoot you up a new load.
That sounds good.
We're
in Boone,
except
you got it.
Roger, thank you.
Altitude 930.
Man, it really looks like you guys are climbing out of there.
You better believe we're climbing out, just like we're in a vertical climb going straight out to the center. It's a fantastic sight. Also, the recollection's looking here, you know, it's a beautiful beach, but where's the ocean? Over.
Right.
Okay, I've got the camera back in the central window again.
Joe, this is incredible. That thing is getting rounder and rounder and rounder and smaller all the time.
Roger, you don't understand.
Real show is on the inside here. It's like three monkeys in a spring pod.
Yeah, I'll bet that's right.
Okay, and what you see out there is real close to what we have. Maybe the curvature is a little more. Now, one thing really interesting, you see the two dark spots there in the center of your screen, the body of material?
I've got them.
Okay, now to us, and all three of us are correlating this, that is a light brown color. And surrounding it, you have the highland areas there, which is a tan color. And you can see that one impact spray crater up there, that's a white chalky color. Again, it looks just like the material of gypsum, I'd say. Over.
Roger, we're getting the same colors as you're describing, Tom. It's just great. Fantastic.
Okay, I've got another crater over here. I'll zoom in on to you. It's to the right of that one, Mario. And you can see it, it's real bright with rays coming out of it, and I'll zoom on it.
Roger.
Apollo 10 now 1,060 miles from the moon.
Okay, 10, this is Houston. You can go back to block on the computer. It's yours, and the fuel cells are looking real good, and you might be interested to know you're coming in real great all the way across Australia.
People in Australia, the crew of Apollo 10 would like to say good morning. We've seen your country many times on our way up to the moon, and we'll see it many times on the way back. It looks very beautiful from even 210,000 miles out. Over.
That Tommy is a charmer.
I should say.
Hey, Joe, the moon is almost small enough now where I can see the whole thing from the top one corner of my forward window to the other corner of my forward window.
Roger, understand.
And I can see the whole moon from top to bottom in my forward window.
Roger, understand, Gene.
Looks like the old camera's doing a pretty good job here, zooming in and out and picking up spots.
Boy, you guys are really hauling the mail out of there.
Oh, you better believe it. It's like we're climbing straight out, Joe. It's a fantastic sight. It's like we were shot straight out from the center of the moon.
Is that what you call it, Joe?
That's what we call it tonight. You're going about 6,000 feet a second.
Okay, we're picking up now more of the Mariam material, and again, even from this distance, still to keep recording going, it is a brown in the Mariam area, surrounding area is a light tan. In fact, I've got one little crater I'm going to try to zoom on. You see the Mariam area that's on the left side of your screen now?
Roger, got it.
Okay, up in there is a little, another small Mariam area and a round spray crater. I'm going to see if we can zoom on that spray crater there.
Roger, okay.
Joe, that fractured crater that had the dark material up on the left side is also about one-fourth of the bottom right-hand side. You're not looking at it now, but bottom-fourth right-hand side is all full of that very darkish, dark gray material also.
Roger, copy, Gene.
In fact, right now, all the people watching TV are at advantage because what you're seeing in your screen is a bigger image than what we see. And right there, you see that little white crater that I put down there about the center of the screen?
Roger, we got it.
It's a white chalky material surrounding it. You have some tan, and then you have the basic Mari over here on the right, and that is brown. Over.
Roger. Thank you, Tom. That Mari over on the lower right, you say that's dark brown or is that black?
No, the Mari here that is right in the middle of the screen now, Joe, that is a brownish color. We estimate a light brownish color with slight streaks of tan over it that are from the Ray crater. This one's coming up right here. I'll put the zoom on. See that, Rascal?
Roger, we got it.
Okay, the crater that you have now, the inside of that is chalky color. The rays coming out are light tan. A darker tan surrounds it. Then you move into the Mari, which is a brown color. Over.
Okay, we got all that description. Boy, that little crater with its rays sure stands out nice.
Right, and you can see down into it, and the sides are just a chalky white color. The bottom is a tan, like we've seen before. Surrounding is a light tan, with the rays lighter, but going over to the Mari, you can see the rays in the Mari material there. A light tan over a brown, over.
Roger, we understand.
Hey Joe, down at 9 miles, that'd be exciting, but this has got to be unbelievable. The moon now is well within the boundaries of my forward rendezvous window.
And now that we showed you that crater, just one thing I want to check. Does our description of the color match with your picture down there, over?
Right, it's coming up pretty good, Tom. The area, the Mari area that you described as brown, looks a very dark brown here, almost black, a real dark brown, and evidently that's a little lighter to you than it shows up on the screen.
Yeah, okay. What about the tan? Is that someone about to swim over?
Roger. That's looking real good. In fact, Tom, I'm at a little disadvantage. I'm looking at the big screen up here on the board, and they say on the monitor in the back of the room there, the colors are exactly as you're describing them.
Okay, well, I passed my eye test, I guess, the last time before on the T-minus 4-day physical, so I guess they haven't gone too bad. Here's an interesting crater right here. It looks like a lot of them are formed after you have a big crater, then you have slumping in the walls. Here you can see a series of ridges where the walls have slumped down in. And I'll zoom in a little bit, over.
Right.
Okay, Okay, the whole view now is getting so fantastic. I'm going to go out to the wide angle to show you what we're seeing. I can see the whole moon right out the hatch window.
Roger.
That view from 1,400 miles.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, there it is.
See, I might mean about size, Joe. It just about fills up round wise right smack in the hatch window. Boy, and is this a full moon, I tell you.
You're just about 1,400 miles out now.
Roger, 1,400 miles out from the moon, and the view is actually just incredible, like Gene has described. We're all just laughing up here, just looking at it. And again, we've said before, it's a good thing we came in backwards at nighttime where we couldn't see it, because if we'd come in from this angle, we'd really have to shut your eyes, over.
Roger, understand. Tom, how about going to the other position on ALC and let's see how that looks.
There's the other position. Joe, we've been shooting this whole thing at F-22.
Roger, understand. Okay, that's good, Tom. Going back, let's see, I imagine
you're
on...
We're going back to...
We're outside now, Joe. How's that? That's where we were. We just went inside for a while and came back.
Roger, that's a lot better. Stay on the outside.
And again, the whole area looks... That area material is brownish. And still, the color hasn't changed much. It's brown and tan with white. So we're...
Joe, with a mid-course of a foot a second, we must be in that corridor.
That's pretty close.
Boy, that's an absolutely incredible targeting down there. Congratulations.
You can almost begin to start smiling, can't you?
Room. Yeah.
I bet Phil Schaefer has a smile across his face if he's around, over.
Yeah, he's in the room down the hall. I'm sure he's grinning.
Metro to have one on me.
Roger, will do.
How come all you people are up this early in the morning?
That's normal working hours, Gino.
All right, try to pick out a couple more interesting characteristics. Again, you can see that one sprayed crater up to the side. Actually, here's a better view. I can see the landing site coming in now. And we'll go down and take a look at Messier, Messier B, the Turonius twins. We can see them from here. We'll put the zoom to them.
You can walk right up the landing site, just like we did when we were down there. You can see Seki, you can see the Apollo Ridge. You can see all those little ridges reflected very well in sunlight. You can't quite see our Sidewinder and Diamondback Ridge at this time, however.
Okay, we understand. Yeah, that little crater that you're bringing into focus, bringing into zoom now with the rays, that's a real interesting little feature, isn't it?
Yeah, would you ask Jack Schmidt to please ask you what the name of that crater is, just for identification? I think we may have seen that before, over. That is St. Serena's name.
I think you got you on Jack Schmidt. He's grimacing and his head is furrowing now, but we'll have a name for you here in a minute.
Pictures of St. Serena's, we thought we'd zoom in on it from here.
Roger. Jack says that the name of that one is temporarily Tom's crater.
That sounds good. Okay, and right ahead from the bright crater, as you walk on across there, you can see Moki. There's Moki, and right up in there, if anybody from Oklahoma is listening, that's what we term the Oklahoma Hills, is on the right. Over.
Roger, we got those, Tom.
In fact, this camera's got such good resolution, I think I can even zoom on Moki from here.
Okay, we'll stand by.
Do you see the bright crater in the center of the screen there?
Roger, we got it.
That is Moki. The landing site one is right to your left there, at least it's in my monitor. And so here we can see landing site one. In fact, we can even see crater 130 in this tube. And all the white area, or probably be the tan area, it's white, white, black, it's white, black, and white too, but it's brown and tan out there as you look there. That's what we call the Oklahoma Hills, over.
Roger, Tom, we got it. Looks great. That's too bad that y'all don't have color TV up there. This is a great view.
Yeah, okay. Now I'm going to zoom back again. That volume material is really looking a deeper brown now.
Roger, okay.
Hey, Joe, we're starting to see the Terminator come in, I believe. We're starting to see the Terminator come in on the far side, which is really getting to be interesting. And I might say we're a little thankful for it, too.
Roger, I understand.
We're going to show you a picture of the far side of the Terminator in just a few minutes. The one thing I'd like to point out, if I could, back on Messier, those two sprayed craters, and I've made some drawings of them to bring back as to what it does. Even here, I'm going to try to zoom on them.
Okay.
We've got a lot of pictures to bring back, and I'm sure they'll be very interesting to you, but I'm afraid they're going to ask as many questions as they answer.
Okay, if you look in the center of your screen, you see two vertical craters. You got them, then you have the sprayed rays that come out down this way. Do you see those, over?
Roger, we got them, Tom.
Okay, that's the Messier craters. And from here, again, you can see the barium material. It is a brown. And the inside the crater is a light tan, and the rays that are sprayed out of them, as you can see, it's just two rays pronged out of it, out over the Highland area that goes up to Sense Arenas. And those are tan rays that come out over the darker material. Now we're getting to get to see some of the backside, some of the rugged side. We'll go down in this area.
Roger.
Okay, I guess it could be, if you're upside down, it could be front side or backside.
Okay.
The shadows are really lengthening, and the shadows are really lengthening in the Terminator area, and you can definitely see the Terminator approaching.
Roger, we can see it on our screen here, Tino.
I think what it is we're approaching it.
Good call, John.
So one thing we're real happy to see around the moon, one thing that we're all happy to see around the moon was some nighttime, because from the time we made TLI until we arrived at the moon, it was strictly out there in daytime all the time. But it's really a pleasant change to get back for a little nighttime. Over.
Roger, I understand.
Joe, it's so incredible. incredible. It almost doesn't look real. And this moon is set against the blackest black and incredibly black that you could ever imagine.
Yeah, I understand.
The black has about the texture that you see oftentimes that comes out of an oil smoke fire. It's really it's a jet black.
Roger, copy. And you're about 2,000 miles out now, 10.
Roger, understand, 2,000 miles out.
I never thought anything could be as enjoyable as this, even with a fuel cell light on.
Roger. Roger, we can pick it up now, and we're picking up the rays, Tom.
Okay, as you look at that crater, again, the bottom floor of it is tan. You can see some slumping on the walls. The sides are chalky white. The rays going out are light tan. The area surrounding it is a darker tan. And then you move over to the Maria area, which is a darker brown up here. But the crater is really a beautiful crater. Stands out with all those rays on it. And down below, you can see the remains of an old crater that's filled with the Maria material. I'll try to put it right in the center of your screen, and it is right at the edge where the Maria starts. Can you see it over?
Roger, we got it. And it looks like there's another one on over to the left and down a little bit, another old crater with some Maria in the middle. Now, that may be shadow.
Sure is, right there.
What color did you say all that was, Tom?
Say again, over.
What color did you say that was?
Was that our guidance officer? Roger, if that was Phil Shaver's talking, just tell him that he's got a bottle of champagne to him for that vector, over.
That was Deke. He was wondering to verify the color of that Maria.
Okay, I know what he's talking about, but we'll talk about that later. Over.
He's got one coming for not passing up any pads while we were gone from John. Hey, I bet we fooled old Snoopy.
You're right.
Okay, Houston, I've got an interesting sight. In fact, we've never seen, Houston, take a look at this. We've never seen this before. The varied colors. Did you see the two Maria areas on the left?
Right, you got it.
Now, the one, the one right, they're different shades. The one right in the center is a darker brown, and the one over to the left, you can see where they flow together there. It is a lighter brown, tending to a tan, and I'll put the zoom on it and hope you can get it. Here it is. We've never seen this before ourselves.
Okay, it's showing up pretty good right now, the way you're describing. There you go. That looks great.
Looks like a couple of different flows there.
Right. Now, right in the center of your screen, you should see the discontinuity between the two Maria areas. The one on the right is a darker brown, tending, it's nearly a chocolate brown now, and the one on the left is a tan. Over.
Roger. That's just how they're coming in down here, Tom.
All right, great. And if you look on in the distance, you can see the nighttime coming on the moon.